the greatest responsibilities, joys, privileges, raising the next generation. It's also one of the greatest responsibilities. And we have a responsibility to do the best job that we can. And so I tell you what we're going to do today here at Intentional Living. We've got lined up some folks from all around the country, people who are parents and grandparents, and they want to share with you what they've learned, one thing that's helped them with their kids that maybe it'll help you. So if you got about 25 or 28 minutes to give us, I hope you'll be listening as we talk about the one things that people are doing that have made a difference, things that they've learned, they wish they had known when they started out the parenting thing, that they're going to pass along to you. If you have a thought, you can share it on our storyline at 888-888-1717. Dr. Randy here in the studio along with Jennifer. Hello there, Jennifer, and Stephen and Gino, and welcome to our friends all around the country on the network. So let's get right at it. Janet's going to be first. What's your one thing? Go right ahead.
I would say let them wear it. The shoes, the butterfly wings, the princess dress, whatever. Just let them wear it. It's not worth it to fight over.
Did you fight over it?
Not let them wear it.
Did you fight over it?
I didn't, but I have a real close friend of mine whose daughter was in a wedding, and they got her a pretty dress, and she just wanted to wear it. Well, unfortunately, she passed away before the wedding.
Oh.
And so she never got to wear the dress. But she did wear the dress at the wedding, or at the funeral.
Mm.
So I just say, let them wear it. You never know. Just let them wear it.
Boy, that is a powerful reminder, Janet. Thank you. Listen, time is short. And so I think she's really reminding us we can pick so many stupid battles with our kids and our grandkids, things that really aren't going to matter much at all. And I think that story takes us right to the reality to be careful. And sometimes we can worry about the messes and... And more than we ought to, Catherine, I think you want to weigh in on this, so go right ahead. What's your one thing?
Oh, just not worrying about the messes, and I was just so overwhelmed with my three kids are less than 2 years apart, and I was homeschooling, husband's traveling, and it was just overwhelmed about, you know, how much mess is this recipe going to make? How much we have to clean up this and cutting out recipes and fun times for creating the picture perfect for the precious moments, you know?
Yeah. And so did you fall prey to that or did you overcome it?
Well, I had some glimpses, like sometimes where I could overcome it, but it was just feeling too much guilt about, you know, now we're behind, now we got to pick up all the messes because we went and had fun today at a field trip. So now, like, so then cutting those things out. So I just realized, I mean, they're still teenagers, so I'm trying to relax more and stay off of Pinterest and not look at all the picture perfect homes and stuff like that.
Talk about that. I've wondered about that. Is that really, it's got to be an issue for a lot of people because so much of what is projected on social media is always the perfect stuff, right? And that's not the way life really works.
Yeah, we had done so much work and time and money to fix up our homes. We had two different older homes. And now we just moved to a 20-year-old home. It's less than half the age of the other homes. And I'm just like, you know what? We're going to wait on the remodel. We're not going to worry about that now. But it was in the back of my mind controlling me and making me feel guilty that we did this nice remodel, but I can't even keep it clean. Yeah. You know, that was always in the back of my head. And now I just tell myself I'm not going to go on these Pinterest and websites. I don't want to use Facebook right now. Just give myself a break and just enjoy the moments with the kids, have fun, and giving myself a break.
Yeah, that's excellent. You know, grandparents will pass along to their grandkids often the message, hey, that time will be passed before you know it. Enjoy those years. And yet I know when you're in the middle of it, come on, we've been there. We raised three. We've got eight grandchildren. We understand. But as I look back, I think I was guilty, not so much of the perfectionism type of things around the house. That's my wife's area. She's excellent at that. But just being busy with work and ministry and activities and so many things and trying to keep that balance is such a powerful thing. We're just giving you ideas. Parents from all over the country sharing their one thing that they've learned about parenting to help parents today. Letting them be who they are. I think that's a really powerful thing. You know, the Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. And what that means is not only training them in terms of their character and all of that, but also understanding that every child has their own unique bent. And I think, Wero, your call from Texas is a reminder of that. So go right ahead. What's your one thing?
So one thing I would pass along is do not force your kids to be something they do not want to be.
Mm. What do you mean by that?
So I'm a first-generation mechanic. We live in a small town. And growing up, I would see other mechanics, and I wanted to be just like them. Like, wow, that's amazing. You know, they get these cars, and they freaking fix them, and they run amazing. Well, I would see them, like, them being second-generation mechanics, which, you know, their fathers were mechanics. So my son, as growing up, I forced him to come outside with me, and he was outside since he was 6, 7 years old helping me, turning wrenches. Now, 18, he's burnt out of it.
Mm.
He wants nothing to do with mechanicing. Don't force your kids to be something they do not.
Yeah, that's good.
Guide them through the path, but let them make the choices of what they want to be.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We've all had those situations in life where we can either run to God or away from Him. In these defining moments, asking the right questions and prayerfully making decisions can change our lives and the lives of people around us. In Dr. Randy's message, Defining Moments, you'll hear how Nehemiah and Jonah responded to God in dramatically different ways. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. And if you give before our fall fundraiser begins, or just tell us you're praying for us, you'll be entered to win a $1,000 Visa gift card provided by generous friends of the ministry. Give right now by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And boy, we appreciate you praying for the ministry and being a part of the support family, allowing us to do what we do. You know, we set a budget, we stay within the budget, made a determination we don't borrow money to operate. We want to use every dollar that comes in as wisely, as good stewards as we possibly can. We keep our team as small as possible with the biggest return in terms of ministry impact. And I just want to say thanks to those of you who are supporting us. Would you come and join us at this very special time? We'd love to have you be a part of the journey. Your support matters. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717 and press number 2.
My name is Tammy. I just wanted to let new parents know I was raised in a home where my basic daily needs were met, but there was no emotion, no affection, and it has really caused me a lot of problems over my life and my brother also. If there's anything I can tell parents is love on your kids. Yes, you are responsible for meeting their daily needs, but please show them love, show them affection. Let them know that they are loved. You can say, I love you until you take your last breath, but if you don't show it, you can really mess kids up.
Boy, that's so true. This is an audio toolbox today. We're opening the top of that box and letting the voices of people from all around the country just share the best wisdom. And I'll tell you, the stuff you're hearing will make a difference. And you may be doing some of this stuff really well and other things you need to work on, but our goal is that you'll pick at least one thing from this half hour and put it to work in your life and your kids. That's why we do this. This is the Intentional Living Ministry. Laura is next in Michigan. Laura, what's your one thing for parenting?
My one thing would be never take time for granted. I am a young mom with twin boys, but I also had a 3.5-year-old daughter who passed away in August.
Oh.
Complications of a hip surgery. We didn't think there was going to be any problems. We just thought it was going to be in and out, and she passed away. So I say, take all the pictures, take all the videos, and people say you're crazy because you're always taking pictures and videos, but it's okay. That's and right. See God's blessing through every moment in your life.
This changed your life, hasn't it?
Yes, it definitely. She changed my life. Before, when I was pregnant with her, we were told that she wouldn't survive birth. She was born with cleft lip and cleft palate and something called hollow prosencephaly with her brain. And she was a warrior and she fought and she was doing phenomenal. She was doing great in school, everything. And this was just a hip surgery. I didn't think anything of it. And we were on our way home and she had passed away on the way home. But God was in every moment, and I say that very clearly because we were only 10 minutes away from home, which the hospital was 2.5 hours away. So God made sure that Dad was able to come to the scene. We were able to have our parish priest come to the scene. God was there holding us during the whole thing. And I truly believe even during the worst of times in life, He is there. He is there for us.
Oh, he absolutely is. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. Honestly, I have a great community, a great parish that we go to. I'm doing pretty good. I just had a birthday, though, and that was a very hard day for me.
Yeah.
Because she's not here. But honestly, I just, having all of the pictures and videos that we are able to have now with our phones, it has helped me so much.
Yes. Mm. How are you guys doing in your marriage?
Actually, our marriage has gotten stronger. My husband has really stepped up and has been phenomenal as a father, but as a husband as well.
Well, the message is don't take even a day for granted, right?
No, don't, because you just think, oh, they'll grow old. You know what I mean? Yeah, you'll be the first one to pass away. And it's not true. You never know. You never know when those little ones might be gone. She was literally my sidekick. We did everything together because my boys were in school, and we did everything together. Mm. So you cannot take that for granted.
No, you can't. Amen. Laura, God bless you and your husband, your family, as you continue to go through a process of grief, but also of good memories, reminding us about the power of time. And Tricia, I think that's where you want to weigh in as well. Cherishing every moment is really important, isn't it? So go ahead. What's your one thing there in New Mexico?
Well, first I have to say I so appreciate your station. I listen to it all the time. It's so uplifting, the music,
yes,
everything about it. So it's been very helpful to me because I've been struggling. But I am 75 and have 2 children. They're married and 1 grandson. And I've heard people talk about time and how important that is. But it is just so precious and goes by so fast. And when you're going through struggles with kids, crying baby, or they're sick, or they've got some issue at school, or whatever it is, that passes, you know, it's important to be with them and help them through because that time's going to be gone. Years ago, we didn't know COVID was going to hit, but we moved to Santa Fe to be closer to our grandson because we were realizing he's growing and the time's going to be gone. We didn't want to just see him a couple times a year. We wanted to be here all the time. So
was that a good decision?
Oh, yes. And Santa Fe's okay. It's not the place I choose to live, but I'm so grateful to be here.
Yeah. Now, how old is your grandson?
He'll be 15.
15.
So, yeah, I traveled back and forth from Colorado to be here a lot, but we just realized we were missing out on a lot of special things. Like today, he has a lacrosse game, and I can be there. So,
yeah,
it's important. It's important to be at all those things, and especially when you're going through those struggles, to remember they're going to grow and they're going to go to college and get married. And, you know, and our children still they're both married, and you know, our son lives in New York, but they still get together and they make time to get together. And I hope that's because we've nurtured our family, and glad that that's important for them too. So.
At your defining moment, make sure that you've made the decision before you need to make the decision. What do I mean by that? I don't believe that at the moment God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh, that he thought at that moment, well, what should I do? He'd already made a decision, see? And when Nehemiah asked that question about the people back home, he had already made that decision in his life. The decision I make to remain faithful to Donna, I make long before I have an opportunity not to be faithful to Donna. Decisions that we make, you know, living an intentional life is a decision. It's the first step in the process. Decision, doing, and decluttering. Those are the three really powerful steps. Making a decision. We talk about what that means. How do you make a decision? How is it based on God's intention for your life? One thing every day, doing one thing every day that moves you in that direction. Then decluttering, getting out of the path of things that are holding you back or pushing you aside or building negative inertia in terms of progress in your life. That's what intentional living is all about. And I want to again say thanks to those of you praying for, supporting the ministry. Come and join us. Got a very special month here. This is a powerful time, and your support is needed now more than ever. Listen, in the world in which we live, we've got to get the message of living intentionally in Christ, knowing Him, and then living for Him every day. That's what we're doing. Seeing marriages saved, people coming to Christ, homes strengthened. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your dollar a day in support, or whatever it is. We appreciate it. Just go to theintentionallife.com, join in, theintentionallife.com, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717.
Hi, my name's Troy. Some advice to the younger parents. Don't let society raise your kids. Don't let computers raise your kids. And the easiest way to lose your kids is ignore your kids and let society raise your kids. That's not what you want. Ultimately, your kids, just like everybody else, they're going to make up their own choices. You have no say in anybody else's choice. So make sure they know the choice that they can make. It's not easy. It is time consuming. But it is worth it in the end.
You're right, Troy, my friend. Let's go to Sheila in Michigan. What's your one thing for parents?
So my one thing would to tell myself just to be patient. I was a single mom of two busy boys. Their dad, he's in their life now, but he wasn't when they were little. And just to tell myself to be patient, that enjoy their time while they're little. And my oldest is going to be a senior next year, so the time goes by faster than what you think.
Yeah, it does. You know, when you realize the time, this seems to be a theme that we're hearing coming through all the calls today. Be patient. Take advantage of today. Be mindful of the moment because these things can pass quickly. Honesty is coming up on the board as well. And Michelle, I think you want to weigh in on that from Georgia, being honest with your kids, but also sometimes not talking to them like kids, right? Go right ahead.
I've never had children, but I taught children for many years, and I remember being very young. And I'll tell you, do not, under any circumstances, talk down to your children once they hit about 5-6 years old. I remember being about 7 or 8. I had to go to the doctor. I was born with horseshoe kidneys. They were joined at the wrong ends. So I had a real fun childhood, you know. And I had to go, they would take a urine sample, like with a catheter or however they do it, and it hurt every time. And they're all like, oh, what a pretty little dress. I'm like, I'm thinking, I know what you're about to do. Do not insult my intelligence. Okay. I mean, kids may be little and young and all that, but they're not stupid, and they'll see right through mm-hmm. you. Okay.
That's right.
They totally will. Be honest. Don't talk down to them. I mean, I do have a goddaughter, and it's kind of like I started working with this girl. She was like teenage, just getting to her teenage years when I started working with her, because her family's so dysfunctional. And over the years, I was just trying to be there for her. And I'm like, I told her at one point, I said, Kelsey, even if every adult around you is dead up wrong, because we can be, I said, somebody's got to get spiritual quick. And sometimes it's going to have to be the kids, even though that shouldn't be. Sometimes it is. I mean, just be honest. Do not talk down to them. Do not act like you're God, because you're not.
That's
you know,
right.
Let them know. Let them know, hey, I make mistakes too. We all do. You know, they appreciate that. She appreciated that and the fact that I was just there. I told her, I said, if you need me to come pick you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Just call me.
Listen, you're right. Don't talk down to kids. That's true. Tell them the truth. I mean, you got to obviously weigh things in terms of what's age appropriate and all that, obviously. But, you know, I think it's interesting in our culture. I've noticed in observing that not only do we sometimes talk down to children, but I think it's even a bigger deal. We talk down to seniors. I think seniors often get talked down to as though, you know, you're out of touch, you don't know what's going on, and all of these things. And that can be very disrespectful. And we can do that in a lot of ways, can't we? Just being careful. All right. Very good. Leanne. You got some good input here. I'd love to hear what you have to say about perfectionism. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, just remember that even if your parents, because me and my parents didn't have a very good relationship growing up, even if your parents had made mistakes, you got to remember that when we make mistakes, we don't see that they're actually mistakes until later on, until after it's done.
Yep.
You know, so we can't hold a grudge against something that somebody done because they didn't even know that they did it wrong. Now, always tell them, hey, I don't think that this was right. I think it was wrong. And always tell them that you love them. You know, as a parent of myself, I have a 7-year-old. And I look back on it. I listen to your show every day. And I mean, I take everything and I write it down and I listen to it. And
oh,
I always take
you.
It back to your other family.
Good.
But I take it, I look at it myself. Man, you know, that really touched me today because that makes me look at myself and see what I'm doing wrong. How can I improve myself with my 7-year-old? I don't want to be the parent to my 7-year-old that my mother was to me. You know, so make changes. That doesn't mean hold a grudge, like I said. You know, forgive them because, like I said, they don't know that they're mistakes until after the fact.
That's right. And I think that this is true, too. When we look at our parents, maybe you were raised in an imperfect home with imperfect parents. And I know that there's times when, boy, that can become a huge problem. But many times these are just people, too. And they're raising us and they make mistakes, learning to forgive, not carrying those kinds of grudges and resentment into the next generation. But like you're saying, what you're saying, Leanne, is learning to be free and do it better and keep doing it better and keep learning and keep growing.
Yes, and forgive.
Yeah.
You know, me and my mom, we still to this day, we don't have the perfect relationship. I talk to her maybe once a month because of that. You know, she still continues to make the mistakes and I've pointed them out. Hey, I don't like this. I don't agree with this.
Yeah.
So I don't want it to be continued. I don't want my daughter to see what she is doing is an okay thing. So I try to stop and say, hey, you know, I've got to set boundaries to be positive about things. You know, it's kind of hard because you think, well, my goodness, I'm an adult. I shouldn't still be living this way. Even in adults, we still make mistakes because we don't think they're mistakes until after we see it.
Yeah, that's true. And so when we try to move toward perfectionism with our kids, that's very destructive. Obviously, we want them to do an excellent job. We want them to work hard, but perfectionism is something that can be very painful and discouraging. All right, John, what's your one thing there in Florida?
Something I tell people today that I look back in life, I'm 62 now. My wife and I had children later in life, so my kids really didn't have a support system of a grandfather or a grandmother around to help. But one thing that I didn't do is we were so busy in life. We were building businesses. What I didn't, going back to what Danielle said, spending time is big. But I think when you're spending the time, I didn't teach them things like things that I was doing, like building things, cutting things, checking power on things, just things that today I'm going back at him being 23 and trying to teach him how to plumb something or how to check a battery or just little things. I mean, it can be the laundry, cooking something, but we get so caught up and busy in our life that we forget to take the time or we don't think it's necessary and it's really important.
Yeah, it is. You know, and that verse that talks about training up a child in the way they should go, and I know that has, we teach that from a real spiritual perspective, but there's also the reality that we need to train our kids about life, about getting along in life, about paying bills, about budgets, about relationships, about what God's intention is when it comes to work and all these things.
Yeah, we just get caught up in life. Everybody's so busy now that everybody just wants to get it done quick.
Yeah.
And it's easier to just do it yourself rather than taking that twice as long or three times as long and teaching your child how to do it also. And I think most people do that, and I don't think the kids are learning what we know.
Yeah,
we need to pass it along.
Yeah, I think you're right, John. I was reflecting as you were sharing your story about the home I grew up in. I had great parents. They loved the Lord. We didn't have abuse. We had loving support, involved in church. But my mom and dad were so busy with their work, and they were so busy just trying to provide that they didn't spend a lot of time training. I can remember that. I mean, and I look back, and I think they probably could have been more helpful in training about how does life work and relationships work and money work. Of course, I think they were struggling with those things at the same time. But learning to train our kids on the practical things of life and how life works can be a really important thing. Like I said, not only train up a child in the way he should go spiritually, which is important, but also just in the practical areas. I think that's a powerful reminder. All right, I think we have just enough time for you, Darren, there in Kansas. What's your one thing?
Make sure that you're always setting the example because they're watching you all the time.
Yeah.
Little things like pulling up to a place and there's a homeless person, and I went inside to buy sandwiches for me and my daughter, and I came back out and I bought an extra sandwich and I gave it to the homeless person. And my daughter's like, "What did you just do?" And I said, "I just gave him food because he looks hungry. And he's not begging for food, but he probably needed food and he was really thankful." And she remembered that. Now she's 23 years old, and I'm driving out to her in Denver and setting that example, that leading, that they're watching you, so that you don't have to teach them by talking, that you're teaching them by that what they're seeing you do.
That's very true. All right. Hey, listen, there's about half a dozen or more people who during the last 25 minutes just said, "Hey, here's what we're doing. Here's what we've learned." I hope you've gotten one thing that you've been able to apply or think about to apply as your one thing for today as a parent or grandparent out there. Intentional Living is a ministry of Intentional Life Media, and we're committed to one thing that's helping you experience today parenting the way God intended. And some of the things you heard today come right out of that playbook for life. And I hope that you'll take some of those things, apply them to your parenting. God gets the glory, and you and your kids will get the benefit, I promise you. So for Jennifer and Stephen, Gino, the rest of the Intentional Living team, God bless you. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.